Hi there. Ho there. This is Katie Adler. Welcome to Live with Katie from beautiful, wonderful, delightful Japan. Good evening. I'm so happy that you are here this evening to join me and Evan. Hi, Evan. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you doing?
Very, very good. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
And before I get started with our talk, I'm just going to do a little bit of explanation for people who are listening. You're on my webpage and you're listening to the interview through the player there. Now, you can also submit questions. There's a question box. And right in that box, you can type in your question. You don't have to put your name or your email address, just your question is okay. Of course, I like to see your name, so please put your name if you want to. And also, if you would like to participate live in the show, please feel free to call in. How you do that is you can do it through Skype. It's a free call, and you would just type in the words join, J-O-I-N, conference, C-O-N-F-E-R-E-N-C-E. Then when you're asked, you would put in the numbers 345-116 and the pound key. The explanation for how to call into the show is also right there on the website where you're listening to this interview. I want to thank everyone for being here, and I'd like to get started talking to Evan. Evan, you're a photographer.
Yes.
And how did you come to be a photographer?
Well, I guess it started in high school. I took a class, and I really enjoyed it. And then I went to the University of Miami in Florida, and I was still interested in still taking a few classes. And one day I got approached by someone at the school newspaper, and basically they asked me if I'd like to go to the football games and basketball games and take photos. And by the way, they would also pay me. So for a college kid who grew up, you know, interested in sports, this was great. I'd get to go to, you know, sports. I have a front line seat and I get paid to take photos. And that's how it kind of started. And from there, one thing led to another, and I started doing other kinds of photography as well.
Now, Miami, the University of Miami and Florida State, those are pretty, pretty strong teams, aren't they?
Yeah, traditionally, University of Miami, also Florida State, also, you know, have very good football programs, some years better than others. Recently, Miami's been a little down, unfortunately, but both are very strong schools.
Now, I can't remember which one, and I think it's Miami. It could be Florida State. Are they the ones who got penalties for excessive celebration of their football goals?
I'm sure both of them have. You know, that's a pretty common penalty for the good teams. Unfortunately, you know, they get a little excited because they're doing really well.
So then, how did you find yourself going to Japan?
I grew up in North Carolina originally, and I went to Miami because I wanted an atmosphere that was very different from North Carolina. That was one of the main reasons why I wanted to go to Miami, because for anyone that's been to Miami, it's more like Latin America than it is. Very different. And then that was such a wonderful experience for me and so many new opportunities. I wanted that same kind of experience again. So I decided to study abroad, and I randomly picked Japan. I really didn't know much about it, and that was a really wonderful opportunity. But I was only there for maybe 6 months, 7 months. So after graduating from Miami, I decided I wanted to move back to Japan, and I did that, and I was there for another 3.5, almost 4 years teaching English and freelancing photography in Japan. It was, I just fell in love with the country, the culture, the people, you know, the landscapes. It was a really wonderful place for me.
Now, when you came to Japan to study abroad, where exactly did you go?
I was in Tokyo at Jochi Daigaku, or Sophia University. So that's like.
And while you were there, what kind of subjects did you study?
It was really just some general education courses that I needed to fill in for my degree. So I took Japanese, of course, but other than that, it was stuff, you know, like environmental science or geography, art history, those kinds of things.
So I want to go back a little bit. You were talking about going from North Carolina to Miami. Was there any kind of a culture shock that you experienced? And then I would like to know about any culture shock that you experienced going from the States to Japan.
Sure. It might be kind of hard to definitely put a specific word on it, but definitely culture shock in both cases. You know, I grew up in a not really really small town, but, you know, a town of maybe like 80,000 people in North Carolina, and, you know, I had always lived there, and everyone knew each other. So going to Miami, which was, I didn't know anyone there, and like I mentioned, the culture is more like Latin America. You know, you go into McDonald's, and people start to ask if they can take your order, but they say in Spanish, which I didn't know any Spanish at all. So, you know, those kinds of things. Really heavy, you know, Latin American influence, a lot of people from Cuba. It really, really nice, but very busy compared to where I grew up. Mm. And then, you know, going to Japan, I guess that kind of compared me. You know, Tokyo is an amazing city, but quite different from someone from coming from where I came from. And although, you know, I think the culture shock was probably less with Tokyo, because I feel like most of the time I was always welcomed with open arms, and people were really interested and excited to help me or talk to me or help me in any way that I could.
Hmm. And you felt that in Miami it was not as welcoming?
in a way, yes. You know, it's, yeah. I don't want to say that thing about Miami. I mean, I love Miami, but it's definitely Tokyo is more welcoming, I think.
Well, you know, I think what's so interesting, and I think it's even hard for Americans to grasp or to understand, is just, you know, how different the United States, how different each state is from another state.
Sure.
And that, sure, that they really are almost, you know, mini countries within a country.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's also not only, you know, cultural differences, but there are lots of different accents. You know, there's a lot of colloquialisms and phrases. You know, things can be very different from state to state, especially region to region.
Now, when you were in Miami and there was so much Spanish around you, did that encourage you to learn Spanish?
Yeah, sure. I actually decided to take a Spanish class at Miami, and, you know, just from being around so many of my friends who spoke Spanish, I picked up a little bit. And I think in a way that kind of gave me the courage to move to a country where I didn't speak the language, like Japan, because I knew that if I tried hard, eventually I would pick up a little bit and things would get better.
And so you graduated and then returned to Japan. When you returned, did you return to Tokyo?
At first I did just to, you know, visit some friends and that kind of thing. But I actually ended up working for the JET program, and I was staying in a city called Shiogama, which is about 15 minutes from Sendai by train, from northern Japan, in Miyagi Prefecture.
And was that quite a bit different than where you had been?
Sure. I mean, you know, like we mentioned, you know, the states are different from state to state. You know, Miyagi-ken is definitely much different from Tokyo. Although there's some similarities, I think they're, you know, for me, I was teaching in high schools, and I went to a lot of different high schools, both around where I lived and, you know, in other parts of the country as well. And, you know, some of the high schools kind of had a similar look, like the classrooms and everything always looked similar to me. Just a small example. I know it's not, you know, always the case or really that significant, but things that I think are more uniform in Japan, which is good and bad, I think.
And when did you actually move back to the United States?
I moved back in 2008.
And was it an easy transition to make?
No, definitely not. You know, there's so many wonderful things I enjoyed about living in Japan, and my wife is Japanese, so I think both of us together leaving Japan was very difficult, and probably reverse culture shock was worse than actually culture shock originally going to Japan. You know, we talked about how everyone was so welcoming in Japan, but moving back home, you know, not as many people are interested in this place that they've never been to. They don't want to hear, not that they don't want to hear, but, you know, they're busy with their own things, and, you know, they can't really relate to the stories that I have about Japan, so it's not as interesting to them. We always, you know, of course, miss family and friends back in Japan. So those kind of things are difficult.
Now, did you move? I'm not really sure where that. I think it said you moved to the Triangle. Where is that?
So Triangle is back in North Carolina, where I grew up. It's they're basically like a couple cities that form a triangle. You know, Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill are the three cities, and that area is called the Triangle.
Yeah, you know, that is one area that I've always wanted to get to. It just looks fabulous.
Yeah, it's very nice area, very beautiful. You know, it's enough of a city to where there's things to do, but it's not to the point where it feels overcrowded. There's traffic, but not bad traffic compared to other parts of the state or the world. So as exciting as Tokyo, though.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite place in Tokyo?
I don't know. It's really difficult. There's so. I think some of my favorite places are probably like all the restaurants I fell in love with over there. Besides, of course, you know, my family's homes and stuff like that. Nothing's like home.
Right. No, that's true. So when you, 2008, you and Satomi were married already when you came back to the States?
Yeah, we actually got married in Japan. So by the time we moved back, we already married, and we moved back together to where I grew up, the area I grew up.
Now, when you were teaching English, were you still thinking, I'm not really quite sure what I want to do with the rest of my life, how I want to proceed with business, or were you thinking, I want to be a teacher? But you have a story about how you got involved with making photography your full-time business.
Yes. So I guess I kind of always knew in the back of my head I wanted to be a photographer. When I was living in Japan, I was doing a lot of freelance photography and also a lot of traveling within Japan. And I guess after I'd been in Japan for a while, friends and family started to come visit, and I started giving them tours of Japan because they wanted to see different places. They didn't want to just see where I was living, of course. And I quickly realized that I loved sharing Japan with travelers, with others. And I thought it was really great that I could not only take them to different places through my personal experiences and connections, but also document the trip for them, like with my photography background. And that was really great. And also in Japan, I photographed my first wedding. It was a really wonderful experience. I up until that point, I had never taken photos that provided so much meaning to my client. And I really enjoyed that experience.
You know, that is a wonderful idea, being a tourist who documents people's trips while they're traveling.
Yeah, I thought so as well, and it's turned into a little side business for me in addition to working as a professional photographer here in the States. A couple times a year, I bring travelers to Japan, usually with interest in photography, but not always, and I show them around and take some photos and teach a little bit of photography if they're interested. It's when I make new friends, it's really quite a dream job for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you've been able to continue the travel photography business.
Yeah, I've done a couple trips, and with people from the U.S., a couple from Turkey, from Indonesia. This fall, I'm actually taking a group from Russia over. So it's very exciting. It's a lot of fun.
How do they find you?
I guess just through my website. They did like searching for, I don't know what they searched for, something in Google, and they found my website. Japan Photo Guide. And that's just japanphotoguide.com. And some of them we Skyped, like we're having this conversation. Others just emailed and made the arrangements and worked out.
Oh, that's great. But yeah, that's really a dream job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's if I could do that the whole year, I'd love to. It's a great way to go back and visit family and friends, and it's really special, I think, for me to share Japan and create these experiences for people that they might not get if they were just visiting Japan by themselves. And I think I kind of noticed that once you leave. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say that once you leave Tokyo, there starts to be less and less English, unless you're going to some of the really famous places, some of the famous temples and shrines in Kyoto maybe, or that area. But it's not always easy to travel around Japan after you leave Tokyo if you don't have any Japanese experience.
Evan, just as a point, I'm going to have you pull away from your microphone just a little bit and see if that clears up a little bit.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, I think that yes, yeah, that's a little bit better. Thank you.
Sure. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Now, is there a particular place in Japan that people want to see, or particular places?
Yeah, I think, Tokyo and Kyoto are probably the two most popular, both amazing cities. If I could live in any city of the world, that would be Tokyo. I just love the mix of old and new, and there's so many things to do there, so much history. And but you still have like big city Osaka, and even like Kansai. Kobe, really international city very close by?
I have a comment from Coochie, and what she writes is, "Hi, Katie, here comes a happy Thursday." Well, the show did start, Poochie, sorry, but she she wants to say hi to you, Evan, and she sends her regards. And she wrote, "I visited Evan's website and saw his pictures. They're so beautiful." As he says that he loves to I'm sorry, what?
I just said thank you.
Yes. As he says that he loves to shoot sports, I love his photos of sports best. Dynamism is condensed in one moment. They seem like they're going to move. And my question is about Evan's photos of weddings. Evan captures happy couples' precious moments so beautifully. Besides just taking photos, are you interested in planning weddings or participating as a stylist, hairdo, makeup, et cetera?
Planning weddings, speaking from experience, planning two, we had one in Japan and one in the States, can be very stressful. So I'll probably leave that to someone else and stick with a photography part. And as far as stylists and other things, I'm not sure I'm qualified to do those. I mean, I could try, but I'm not sure how that would turn out.
What was the stressful part of planning the wedding?
There's just so many things to consider and so many plans to tie together and thinking about all the guests and making sure they're taken care of and can get from point A to point B if there is such a transition. Just a lot of work to make sure that everything goes great and everyone's happy.
Yeah. You know, weddings are a huge, huge industry here in Japan. Are they as big of an industry, or is it as big of an industry in the United States?
Yeah, I would say so. It's you know, it's a hopefully once in a lifetime event that you want to always remember, and most people do like to spend, you know, put a significant investment into their wedding, and I think for the most part, we did as well. You know, it's a special moment in time, and you always want to remember that.
Yes, that's very, very true. And do you find that each couple has, that you can immediately get a sense about how you should photograph them?
Maybe not immediately. You know, everyone's a little different, and you can kind of tell, you know, the brides are always fine. They're always comfortable in front of the camera. They're, you know, want to have their photos taken. The grooms, us guys, are a little more shy and usually not as interested in getting our photos made. So sometimes the guys can be a little stiff, but usually they warm up pretty quickly. And, you know, it's, for me, usually I can relate to the guys, especially when they find out I do a lot of sports photography. They start to get real interested in that, and I suddenly have lots of offers for an assistant if I ever need one.
Oh, that's great. So you're still doing sports photography?
Yep, I still take photos at local colleges and sometimes professional, so North Carolina State, University of North Carolina, Carolina Panthers, NFL, Carolina Hurricanes, the NHL hockey. So yeah, I'm still doing, and some high school sports as well, but those are the main ones.
Well, let me see. We have a couple of callers on the line, and I'm going to see if they have any questions or if they're just listening. Sometimes they call in and just listen through the lines, but sometimes they have questions. So let me bring on Romy and see if Romy has a question.
Okay.
Hi, Romy. How are you?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very happy right now.
That's good.
Good. Yeah, do you have a question for...
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Okay. Could you tell us about the most stunning view you ever seen in Asia?
Oh, wow. Very cool question. I spent a lot of time traveling in Japan. I also went to Hong Kong and Cambodia, Thailand. But I think maybe I'm going to give you two, actually, both from Japan. I really loved Arashiyama outside of Kyoto. And there's like a river and that goes through it, and you can climb up, you know, like through not really a mountain, but kind of like a large hill, and you can get just like a really beautiful view of the river and the mountains around Arashiyama.
Did you ride a boat?
Yeah, I'm sure that's on my website. I really love that area. And the second is actually the same place, like just walking through the bamboo forest in Arashiyama. It's just like incredible, so relaxing and beautiful. You know, hopefully on a day when there are not too many other tourists there, it's much more enjoyable. I was lucky enough to go when I was almost alone, basically, and it was just incredible. And just I think I would have to go with that.
Thank you.
Naomi, do you have a favorite view in Asia?
I've never been to several countries in Asia, but I also love Kyoto. So when I was in Osaka, I used to go to Kyoto every weekend, almost every weekend.
So do you have a favorite place in Kyoto?
Yes, I like Arashiyama too. And I also like Kiyomizu-dera. And Gion, those area.
Me too.
Very beautiful places.
Yes.
Great. Romy, thank you very much
for your question.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
You too.
Bye. Yeah, and again, I would like to welcome anyone and everyone who would like to call in and ask a question. Please do so. And you can also, if you find the time and you remember, I know you get busy listening, but you can also write in a question for Evan, too. I'm going to bring on Ayako and see if she has a question or a comment. Hi, Ayako. How are you?
You talk to me?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm very surprised now. I just missed your conversation.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm enjoying this conversation. Oh.
Well, I always like to check because sometimes people call in just to listen. And then sometimes people have a question or a comment. So I just wanted to see if you had a question or a comment.
Oh, okay. I see. Question. So yesterday I came back to Japan from Seoul and Bangkok. And have you gone there?
I spent some time in Bangkok. Actually, my wife has some family there, so we went to visit them one time. I prefer Tokyo, though.
So Bangkok was so good place for me, and okay. I enjoyed every night in Bangkok. So, did you go Khao San Road?
Khao San Road, yes.
Yeah, very famous road.
Very famous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very
delicious.
Mmm. You like
I love the food in Thailand.
Food?
Yes, I do.
Oh, too hot for me, it was.
Me too. Me too. But still delicious.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, the last time I went to Bangkok, I went to this restaurant, and it's an amazing restaurant. You pick your fish, you pick your vegetables, and they cook everything right there. Well, the fish that I had, there was a red hot chili pepper, and by mistake, I bit the red hot chili pepper. I cried.
Oh, no.
I cried. For 1 hour, I was in pain, and my mouth had no feeling for 4 hours.
Wow.
But it was delicious.
I hope so.
Well, Ayako, welcome home, and I'm glad you had a good trip.
Yeah, thank you. So I went abroad for 1 month to study English at Cebu and with my daughter.
Great.
Yeah, it's great experience for me. And for my daughter, it's very hard for her. She is 4 years old and she went to local tutorial while I studied.
Well, and she's 4 years old?
Yeah, 4 years old.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so.
Well, Ayako, thank you so much and have a great evening.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
I'm very surprised.
Wow, that's amazing. How wonderful.
Yeah, very
good. You've been to Thailand quite a few times, I think. Is that right?
Just once, but we were there for maybe 2 weeks or so.
Okay, great. Yes. So I know that, so with photography, was there someone in your family who inspired you to be a photographer?
Nope, not at all, really. You know, I guess my sister was a ballet dancer, but other than that, you know, there's not really any artist in the family. And it's pretty different from photography, so no. It really just happened by chance.
And so you came back to the United States. Photography is what you set up as your business, or did you transition into doing photography?
Well, I knew I wanted to be a photographer when I moved back, but I wasn't quite sure how to go about it. So the first couple months, I was kind of just figuring out what I should do. And then kind of it started because we were planning our own wedding back in the States, and I was meeting with other wedding photographers, and I was lucky enough to, you know, have the opportunity to work with a couple of them that I had met, interested in my own, photographing my own wedding, and they kind of gave me a start and advice. And from there, I worked with another photographer for about a year and a half or 2 years. And then after that, I started went out on my own.
Great. And what's your dream or vision that you have for yourself?
You know, I think we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier in that, you know, I love doing these tours to Japan, and if I could do that full time, that'd be incredible. I'd also love to continue to do the sports photography. That's another big passion of mine. Not that I don't enjoy the other parts of photography, like the portrait work and the events, because I do. I love those as well. But to me, when I'm taking photos of sports or when I'm giving tours of Japan, that it doesn't feel like work to me. It's just enjoying what I'm doing and loving what I'm doing. So that's really special, those two areas for me.
Now, have you thought of bringing Japanese tourists to the United States?
You know, I've thought about it before. I've talked about it a little bit with my wife and some of the complications we might have. It, I think part of it is that at least in my area, there's probably not so many people that'd be really interested in spending a vacation here. In other parts of the U.S. that I'm very familiar with, actually the only other place would probably be Miami that I'm very familiar with. I mean, I could figure something out and take them to other parts of the U.S., but really providing a personal experience and with a personal connection is probably only North Carolina and Miami for me.
All right. Now, you know, in terms of the United States, in terms of having people come to the United States, I think visas are a little bit more difficult recently. Is that true?
You know, I'm not sure, to be honest. I think coming from Japan to the U.S. or in general from any country?
Right, for studying, yes.
I'm not really sure. You know, that's an issue that I haven't had to personally deal with, and I guess my wife doesn't either since we're married. She has her green card, so it's no problem. But from, you know, I would think that it's from a country like Japan, it's probably easier than most places, I would guess.
When you moved back to the States in terms of transitioning, was safety a worry for you?
Sure. Coming from Japan where it's, you know, very, very safe, back to the States where some areas are not so safe. In general, you know, the United States is a safe place, but I'm not sure if any first world country is as safe as Japan, you know. It's quite a unique place. Very special, but the area we live in is very safe, though. So,
yeah, I'll be tempting to look at the United States and oh no,
excuse me.
Sometimes living over here and reading the newspapers about what happens in the United States, I sometimes think, oh, no.
Yeah, sure.
The country, yeah, it just doesn't seem that. Well, and Japan is a very unique place for safety, I think.
Yeah, definitely that's the case. I would agree with you 100%.
Now, is Satomi working in your photography business?
Well, sometimes she helps out. She's... Now, I guess there's one question about, you know, if I was interested in being a stylist or something for weddings, my wife could definitely do something like that. She's very good with style and clothes and hair. I guess her mom and grandmother run a hair salon, so she kind of grew up with that in that atmosphere. So she helps with the styling. Also, she helps sometimes with posing, things like that, and at times even some of the editing and work in Photoshop.
Well, that's nice. So you can have the business kind of all in the family.
Yeah, usually it works out great.
So when you were studying Japanese and then when you were teaching English, what were some of the things that you noticed in terms of having a mindset to learn a language?
You know, I guess the main thing is really you have to want to learn it. You know, it was obvious, you know, with my students who wanted to really learn English and who was just there because they had to be there. And that's really the thing, you know. And a lot of people say, oh, it's so much easier to learn a language when you're younger, when you're growing up. And sure, that might be true to some extent, but, you know, if no matter what age you are, if you decide you want to learn another language, you can do it. And I think that's just the main thing. You just really have to want to, and you have to put in the effort. It's, you know, not something you can just kind of do with half effort and expect to really learn the language.
And did you find that most people in Japan had the same problems, either vocabulary or grammar, when they were learning the language, or did each person have unique difficulties?
Well, I think there are definitely some similar problems, especially with pronunciation, you know, like R and L and B and V, TH and S, those always were difficult for most of my students. And then, you know, other concepts like plurals. One thing I always remember, even my wife every now and then makes the mistake, is she'll say closes instead of close. You know, just some pronunciation issues that every the exceptions to the rule, I guess.
And are you still studying Japanese?
Not as much as I should, unfortunately. You know, every now and then my wife and I will speak together in Japanese, but it's much easier to communicate in English, and especially since we're living here now, most of our conversation seems to be in English. I try to do Rosetta Stone a little bit, just to kind of like have something where I'm forced to use Japanese and forced to hear and see Japanese, so I don't completely forget. But I'm not sure if that's the best way to learn a language or not.
Wow, what made you choose Rosetta Stone?
It's the kind of thing where I'm always on my computer working with my photographs or on website, something like that. So I wanted something that was very convenient. I would fit in with my workflow, and I can transition from, you know, just a little bit of Japanese and then go back to work right the same place. And that just, I know I had a friend who recommended it, and I thought I'd give it a try.
Great. Now, when you're on your computer with your photographs, and then you said that you teach photography, what are some of the basics that you teach people when you're first giving a workshop in photography?
Sure. Well, I guess it depends on the students that I have at that time, or what their needs are, what their experience is. But it could be anything from basics, like just how to use the camera, to style, technique, composition, you know, dealing with difficult lighting situations, those kind of things. But I think most people want to know, like, the basics of how to use their camera, and how they will always ask, how can I take better photos? And which seems like a simple question, but the answer is not always as simple as it seems.
Right. No, that's very true. You know, I was thinking, if anybody did travel to the United States and wanted you to photograph their trip, could they contact you through their website? Through your website?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, of course. And whether they're coming to the States, or they want to plan, someone's listening abroad and wants to go to Japan, yeah, definitely. I'd please do contact me.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think too, you know, there are schools that have language programs, and people are always traveling and asking people to take their pictures, but to actually have a photographer right there taking your pictures, that sounds like fun. That sounds like a real luxury.
Right. Yeah, and you know, we kind of, I guess one thing I noticed a lot of when we were traveling around Japan, we'd ask someone to take our photo, and, you know, sometimes we'd be cut off, or you know, their thumb was in front of the lens or something like that. So it's, I think most people can really appreciate having the professional photos of their trip, of their experience, or even like a, you know, a portrait session in a place that they're visiting, you know, could be really special and meaningful.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, when someone approaches me to take their picture, and I don't have an iPhone, and so I'm not very good at using them, oh, I just shudder because I just think, oh, no, I hope my thumb's not in front of the picture. Yeah, that's
right.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Now, North Carolina is called the Tar Heel State. What does Tar Heel mean?
So that there are, you know, lots of different stories of how that came to be about, but I think the most agreed upon one is it dates back, I guess, to the Civil War, where there was a battle, and you know, the people from North Carolina held their ground like they had tar on their heels, basically. And that's, Tar Heels has also now become the name of the one of the famous universities in North Carolina, Tar Heels, University of North Carolina, Tar Heels. So that's where most people say it comes from, but I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, so possibly the Civil War. Oh, that's interesting. And you also said that you were, that a hurricane that you were in Miami influenced your life. What can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that's a little misleading, I guess. It was more of you know, I guess first I should say that, you know, there was maybe about 10, 15 years ago, there was like a report about all the different states and which sports teams were the most important to them. And 48 of the 50 states all voted for professional sports teams. North Carolina was one of the two states that voted for college sports. And that's because we have a lot of great colleges in this area, especially North Carolina, and Duke University is another really famous one. And so, you know, we talked about the Tar Heels, and then when I went to Miami, they're the Miami Hurricanes. So basically it was just a play on words that, you know, I grew up in North Carolina Tar Heel, but now I've kind of turned into a Miami Hurricane. You know, college sports is very important. So just that kind of thing.
Oh, that's funny. Would have no idea that that hurricane was a reference to a sports thing. I have another question from Guchin, and she says, thank you for answering my question before. May I ask one more question? Do you have any favorite Japanese TV programs?
Japanese TV programs. You know, there aren't too many I watched. And there's some, like, maybe really old ones that I used to watch. Like, I know it's not on anymore, but Takeshi-jo, or Takeshi Castle, which is kind of a silly game.
The moderator has left the conference.
Oh, hi there. Sorry about that. I got dropped.
Okay. No problem.
Hello?
I thought it was me.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
No, it was me. So I didn't hear the answer to the last bit that we were talking about, but I was panicking and trying to get back on. I'm very sorry about that.
No problem.
So then do you plan on staying in North Carolina, or do you think you would ever move back to Japan?
We talked about that quite often. I think for now our plan is to stay in North Carolina. In a perfect world, you know, we could spend part of the year here and part of the year in Japan. But I guess it's a little tricky arranging that and finding jobs that allow for that.
Yes, no, it's hard sometimes getting everything organized. And I know now the question that I didn't hear the answer to was TV program, the Japanese TV program. Is there something that you watch, or do you have a favorite one?
Well, I guess I was kind of starting to mention that I used to watch one called Takeshi Jo or Takeshi Castle, which is no longer on anymore. It's kind of like a obstacle course type thing, kind of like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with, I think it's called Sasuke now. So it's like an obstacle course, but a little bit of comedy involved. But I never got into any of the Japanese dramas or the variety shows that are on most of the time.
I would imagine that even in the United States, maybe you don't watch very much television.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, there are some shows that my wife and I enjoy, but not as much time for your television as I once had.
Well, I'm going to bring Poochin on and see if she has a question she wants to ask you.
Okay.
Hi, Poochin.
Hi, Katie. I just heard Takeshi Jo and you left the conference, and they say. So I wanted to hear the answer, and I come.
I'm sorry,
oh,
it's
okay,
kind of breaking up a little bit. I can't really hear that.
Sorry. Okay.
So
thank you.
So, Poochin, you called to hear the answer to the television show?
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
I wanted
good.
To
did you
hear the answer.
Great. Did you hear the answer?
Yes. Takeshi Jo?
Yes.
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 Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I like Yoshimoto Shinkigeki. Do you know?
I don't think so. What is that one about?
And comedy show in Osaka.
Okay.
Mm.
Maybe if I saw it, maybe I would recognize. Maybe I just don't know the name.
They are very fun. I recommend you, and maybe your wife knows it.
Probably. I'm sure she does.
Yes.
Yeah, Yoshimoto is a famous kind of a talent agency, too, isn't it?
Yes. I watch the TV program every Saturday. And laugh about 1 hour laughing and laughing.
That's wonderful.
It's kind of like a Saturday Night Live in a way. It's all comedy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to the live show, Poochin?
No, I'd like to go to the live show, but TV program is just fine and very fun.
It's
yes.
Thank you.
Great. Well, Puchin, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Take care. Bye. So, Evan, then the next thing on your plate is what?
good question. I'm not really sure exactly what the next thing is. I mean, you know, I'm just still trying to develop my business in a couple different directions, with events and portraits and sports and also the stuff with the tours of Japan. I think just, trying to develop those and see where it takes me.
Yeah, that is so exciting that your photography is able to bring you back to Japan. And I think it's marvelous that you are able to connect with people from all over the world. They find you. And, for example, your next tour is with a group of Russians. Is that what you said?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, that is marvelous that your business can expand from the United States, bringing Russians to Japan to do something that you love doing. Congratulations. That is really, really awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really wonderful, and I feel very lucky to be able to do something that I love.
Yeah, and photography is such a wonderful gift that people give to each other and to the world when they're taking marvelous pictures.
Well, thank you.
Well, Evan, I want to thank you so, so much for being on the show tonight. It's been so interesting speaking with you. And, it's just so interesting the way you went from North Carolina to Miami to Japan and then back to North Carolina, and you continued to keep that Japanese connection. Actually, you keep a pretty much worldwide connection, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I mean, it was a lot of fun, and like I said, I just feel so lucky to be able to do what I do. It's a lot of fun, and to be able to share this experience, my experiences with others, is really wonderful.
It is, and I think it's very inspiring for people who are hesitating to follow their dream, or people who are hesitating to turn something that they love doing into a business or into a venture. And there are just so many opportunities available to people that I'd like to encourage people to follow their dreams and to do what they love. And it ends up working out, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, as long as you love what you do and aren't afraid to take a couple risks every now and then, it's hopefully it'll work out for the best.
Yeah. Well, again, Evan, thank you so much, and the best of luck to you with everything.
Thank you as well. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Well, take care and have a good morning.
Thanks. Have a good evening.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, everyone, that was Evan Pike as my guest tonight, and thank you so much for everyone who participated. It was a wonderful talk and so interesting hearing someone who really expanded their horizons and has had a chance to experience so many parts of the world. Thank you to the people who called in and for also writing questions in. This is Katie Adler saying goodbye. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and I'm looking forward to next week's show. Take care. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.